Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, the first epistle that the Apostle John wrote to the church, chapter 2. And the title of the message today is Abiding in Christ. Abiding. Now, you know that word abiding means to continue, to persevere. And in order to understand what John is teaching here, as he was inspired by the Spirit, we need to make sure that we keep the context in mind. And so I'm going to go back and just read some passages that I dealt with the last time that we went through, we're in this chapter. And he's speaking of the fact that there were some professing believers back then within the churches that he's writing to, who had totally turned against the gospel. They left. They were men and women who believers thought were their brethren, were sure that they were saved, but then they turned around and bought into what John calls the spirit of Antichrist. Look at verse 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, you know, the term antichrist usually catches people's attention because today many are taught that antichrist is one person who's coming in the future who will be a great political and religious leader who will unite all kingdoms and all governments and be the agent of Satan. And, of course, the only time you find the term Antichrist in the Bible is in the letters of John, and this is one place where he mentions that, and he calls it a spirit that is already in the world. And the term Antichrist means against Christ, and here's what he says that Antichrist Christian spirit does. In verse 19 it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Now, that's key to understand that. He says, "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They would have abided in Christ." And he says, "But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So what he's saying here is that these people who bought into this spirit of Antichrist were at one time thought to be believers, gave some evidence in their testimony, in their profession of doctrine, that they knew Christ and believed in Christ, but because of some reason, whether it's persecution or whether it's lack of interest, it may be to win friends and family and all of that, they left the gospel. They left the church. They left Christ. They turned against him. Now, this is not just a believer who's gotten lazy. Understand. This is a person who now is totally against Christ. I know of one person in my life that I've met who's like this, and it was a man who claimed to be a Christian, claimed to believe what the doctrine of the gospel is, and now he claims to be an atheist. So he's turned totally against Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, what John says here is very important, because this is what I'm going to talk about today as we go down through these scriptures, abiding in Christ. And notice what he said in verse 19 again. He says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Now, what does that mean? Well, he goes on, "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." If they were truly saved by the grace and the power of God, they would have been kept by the grace and the power of God. and they would have abided. They would have continued. And he says, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They're going out. They're turning against the gospel, leaving the church, leaving Christ, turning absolutely against him. Only proved that they had never been saved to begin with. And of course, what we're talking about is what people commonly call once saved, always saved. Now, not everybody who claims to be a Christian believes that. But those who don't believe that don't know the gospel. They do not believe the gospel. Listen to what he says in verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I preached on this last time. This is an unction. This is the anointing that comes by the Spirit of God as He is sent from Christ, the one who died for the sins of His people, who was buried and arose again the third day, resurrection life. That unction, that anointing, is the power of the Spirit to give life in the new birth. And what He's saying here is that if the Spirit has come forth from Christ, the Holy One, and given you the resurrection life of Christ in the new birth, brought you literally from the dead. See, by nature we're spiritually dead, and we must be born again. And if the Spirit has done, and the Holy Spirit is the sovereign agent in that great work of the new birth, in the regeneration, we call it. Under the preaching of the gospel, He comes forth and He gives life to the dead, and He brings us to believe in Christ and to repent of dead works. He gives us the gift of faith and repentance. And that's that unction from the Holy One. And that's what John is saying. But you won't leave Him, he says, because you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things pertaining to salvation. And look at verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you do know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. John is saying here that I'm not writing you because I'm in doubt of you and think that you don't know the truth. But I know that you know it. And you know that no lie is of the truth. And so in verse 22, he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? That Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And he says, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So there's that spirit of Antichrist again. One who denies the Father and the Son. Basically, the spirit of Antichrist is any spirit that denies that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is the one and only Savior of sinners. But this spirit of Antichrist is specifically directed to those who at one time claimed to believe it, but they did not abide in it. They did not continue in it. One of the cardinal doctrines of the gospel, of true Christianity, is not, and you can say it any way you want. Some people say once saved, always saved. Some people call it the security of the believer or the security of the saved. One of the doctrines is stated in another way, perseverance of the saints. Persevering, abiding, continuing. In other words, if you're truly saved by the grace of God, if you've truly been born again by the Spirit, if you truly have this unction from the Holy One, you will not leave Christ totally. You will not turn against Him. Now, many people in certain denominations, they say, well, you can be saved, but if you don't keep this and keep that and do this and do that, you can lose it. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that sinners are saved by grace based on the blood and the righteousness of Christ. Sinners are kept, preserved by grace based upon the blood and righteousness of Christ. And sinners will enter glory in the afterlife by grace, based on the blood and righteousness of Christ. That's what the Scripture teaches. Now, you can call it once saved, always saved. And you can bring every objection you want to bring. People say, well, if that's the case, then I don't have to obey and I don't have to do this. That's not what that doctrine teaches. That's just what those who are unbelievers raise against it. Because they don't have any other motivation to obedience than legalism and a mercenary spirit. In other words, the only reason they are trying to be obedient, as they say, is because they're afraid that God will kick them out of the family, or they're doing it because of some mercenary earned reward. I'm doing it because I want better rewards. And that's not a child of God. That's not a servant of Christ. That's a mercenary. But you see, the obedience of a truly sinner saved by grace, is motivated not by legalism or a mercenary spirit of earned reward. It's motivated by love, by grace, by gratitude. That's the motive that God, the Holy Spirit, implants in the heart. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, those of you who are truly born again, he said, now here's some people, they claim to believe it. You thought they were brothers and sisters in Christ, but now they've left it, turned totally against it. Even some to the point of calling Christ accursed, just like the man I was telling you about who now claims to be an atheist. They never were saved. That may shock you. It may surprise you. You may say, well, I know they were saved because look at what happened in their lives. They quit drinking, they quit smoking, they quit doing. That has nothing to do with it. They've turned against Christ and they never were born again truly. They just had a profession of faith, but they did not have a heart confession. And so they turned against it. But you who have truly been born again, you who have this unction from the Holy One, you can never leave it. Now that doesn't mean you're not going to sway one way or another and get lazy. It doesn't mean that we can't stray away for a while, but God will not allow us. We who are sinners saved by grace in Christ, Christ who now sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people, God will not allow us to turn against him, to leave it totally. And that's what John is talking about in the rest of these verses and down into chapter 3. It's impossible for a sinner truly saved by grace to totally forsake Christ. That sinner, by the grace and power of God, will abide in Christ, will continue, will persevere. And the reason it's impossible for a sinner truly saved by grace to leave Christ are numerous. Number one, their sins can never be charged to them. If they're truly God's elect, the Bible says in Romans 8:33, I believe it is, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God has not imputed or charged their sins to them. And if sin is not charged to you, you cannot be condemned. God has imputed Christ's righteousness to them. And they stand before God in the righteousness of Christ, his righteousness imputed. David spoke of it, or Paul spoke of it as quoting David in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, when he spoke of the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us, it goes on to say in verse 34. It's Christ that died and is risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. So if you're truly saved, truly born again, been truly brought to faith, really, savingly, you can never leave Christ totally because God won't let you. And that's another thing. They are preserved in Christ. We who are truly saved are preserved. We persevere, but only because we are preserved by the power of God. Christ spoke of that in John chapter 10. He said, no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. The devil cannot take you out of God's family, and you cannot even take yourself, because God won't allow it. He preserves us by his power and his glory. You see, God is glorified in the salvation of his people. The Bible says that Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by him. Paul said it. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And what have I committed unto him? My whole salvation's committed unto him. None of it's committed unto me. None of it's conditioned on me. And that's another reason we can't be lost if we're truly saved. All of my salvation, if it's by grace, is conditioned on Christ, and he fulfilled those conditions completely so that I will never be condemned. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no possibility. Another reason they cannot be lost is nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Romans 8, read Romans 8, 35 through 39 sometime. Sit down and read the whole thing. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? And basically what Paul says there is nothing can do it. If God set his love upon a sinner and saves that sinner by grace, nothing can separate him from that love. And then we have the inward working and presence of the Holy Spirit, that unction from the Holy One. And he says John says that unction is enough to keep us. The Holy Spirit will not let us go. Christ will not let us go. The Father will not let us go. Look back at verse 23 of 1 John 2. He says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now, the next line here is in italics in the King James Version. And what that means is it was added by the King James translators. And there's nothing wrong with that if it expresses the truth, obviously. And they're just going to the flip side. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, the Bible teaches that. The only way that we can come to the Father, God the Father, and be accepted eternally is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to pay for the sins of his sheep, his people, God's elect, and worked out righteousness whereby God accepts them and blesses them and saves them. His righteousness imputed. So he says in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Now, what he's saying here is on the sinner's side, we're to determine in our minds, as we are brought into the knowledge of Christ, as we are shown the sinfulness of our persons, of our works. I mean, you think about it. That we fell in Adam and we're born dead in trespasses and sin, and God saves us out of that state. But we're still sinners, sinners saved by grace. And if God were to judge us right now, if God were to judge me right now based upon my best efforts to serve him, I'd be damned forever. Because my best works do not measure up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. Christ is my righteousness. My works, even as a believer, are not good enough to save me or keep me saved or bring me to glory. And the only way that my works can be accepted with God is as they are washed and presented in the blood of Christ, cleansed from all my sin. But he's given me the Spirit of God who resides within me and created within me a new spirit, a new heart, a new mind, a new way of thinking, thinking of grace now. And he says, I'm to determine in my mind to let that abide within me that I heard from the beginning. The same gospel. You know, today I'm preaching the same gospel that I first believed 40 some years ago. And it's never changed. Now, I hope I've grown in grace and in knowledge. I've studied the scriptures. There are things I've learned. There are things that God has used to change my mind about the interpretation of certain scriptures. But the gospel of God's grace has never changed one iota. It's a perfect gospel. It'll never change. It needs no addition, no subtraction. It's God's grace, all conditioned on Christ, to save his sinners from their sins by the blood of the God-man, the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. My surety, my substitute, my redeemer. It's his righteousness, the very righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. That's what saves me. That's what keeps me. And that's what will bring me to glory, Christ alone. And that's never changed. So let that, therefore, abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. He says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In other words, if you truly heard the gospel from the beginning, the true gospel, and that remains in you, you'll continue in the Son and in the Father. You won't leave. That's what he's saying. How do I know that God truly saved me by his grace? Well, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Think about it this way. If you really believe this gospel, can anybody talk you out of it? This fellow I was telling you about who's now an atheist, somebody talked him out of it. He claimed to believe the exact same doctrine of the scriptures and seemed to be a brother in Christ. But I think he got a hold of some philosophy books and maybe some science books and some books that were attacking the Bible, and it turned his mind. He got talked out of it, and he bought into the spirit of Antichrist. But if that which he heard from the beginning remained in him, which it didn't, he would have continued in the Father and the Son. He would have continued in the gospel. But he never was truly saved. If you can be talked out of it, then you never truly believed it. Because if the Spirit of God convinces you, you know, that's what the Bible says when we're born again. It's the Spirit of God giving spiritual life, ears to hear, eyes to see, all of that, a new heart, and convincing us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of the gospel, of Christ, of sin because we by nature didn't believe in him. In other words, he shows us what we are by nature, sinners who need salvation by grace, sinners who, if left to ourselves, would not choose him, but he chose me. And righteousness, because Christ went to the Father, that's his righteousness, that's the merit of his obedience unto death, as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. He's my life giver, he's my preserver, all of that. And so I look to Christ for righteousness, for forgiveness, for eternal life, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is cast out. That is, that when Christ died for my sins on the cross, I was judged right there in him. He took the wrath of God that I deserved, and he drank damnation dry. So it's a convincing. Now, if you've heard it, and God has brought you to believe it, and the Holy Spirit has convinced you of it, let me give you these three things. You cannot ignore it, you cannot deny it, and you cannot leave it. Do you hear that? Mark that in your mind. That's what he's saying there. Again, verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If what the Holy Spirit put within me, in my heart, in my mind, remains in me, and it will if he put it there, all right, I cannot ignore it, I cannot deny it, and I cannot leave it. I will continue. And he says in verse 25, listen to this. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Did you notice there? He didn't say, and this is the promise that you made to God. Now, we may make many promises to God. But my friend, our promises all too often fall by the wayside. We're either unable to fulfill the promise, because we didn't foresee all the obstacles or couldn't provide all the means. Or we're just unfaithful because we're sinners saved by, if we're saved by grace. But God's promises never fail. He's faithful. Over in the book of Lamentations, in chapter 3, I believe it's verse 21, he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." And I think verse 22 says, they are great. They're just so precious every day. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. Great is thy faith. God has never gone back on a promise that he's made. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that all the promises of God are yea, which means sure, and amen, and certain in Christ. God is the promise. You know, I hear this organization called the Promise Keepers. Well, anytime we make promises, we ought to keep those promises. There's no doubt about it. But we'll often fail. But you see, the real promise keeper is God. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. And what is that promise? It's not salvation if you do your part. It's not eternal life if you'll keep on keeping on. It is eternal life. And this is all from God, promised of God, through Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 26, he says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Now, this shows you what's happening here in the churches that John is writing to. There were false preachers, unbelievers, who were creeping into the church, talking to the believers, trying to seduce them away from the gospel. And they succeeded in some of them, those who went out from them. But he says, "I'm writing you these things because those who are trying to seduce you, they won't be successful if you have that unction from the Holy One. If that which abides in you continues by the power and the grace and the purpose of God." That's what he's doing. I'm warning you. We'll pick up next week. I hope you'll join us for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.